FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It is 3519. I'm in chilly downtown Toronto at PDAC. We're in the lobby of the Omni Hotel. They seem to have forgotten that it's cold out and we could use some heat here. We're shivering. And what better way to talk about a mining company where the sun never sets and where it's usually 130 or 40 degrees. And my cohorts here, I got Mark Campbell, who runs Atten Resources, and Chief Geologist Javier Moderno. And we're all shivering here in the lobby, having a good laugh, waiting for our coffee, which hopefully will be here shortly. But Javier, welcome to winter.
It's a pleasure to be here. I thought it was a financial network, but apparently it's a comedy one. So good to see you, Kerry.
Well, we try to keep it light. Hey, you know, there's enough heavy-handed nonsense going on in the world. We don't have to add to it. And, you know, like, hey, if you can't laugh about mining, then what can you laugh about, right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely spot on.
Hey, so you've been doing this geology gig for quite some time now. And so you're in Egypt. How did you get there?
How did I get there? Somebody who I know, as tends to happen in geology, phoned me up and said, are you interested in a job in Egypt? And I said, I don't know, maybe. Come and have a look. So I did, and that's how I got there.
So obviously, you didn't just say, well, I could use a couple months' pay. I'll hang out in these, this desert and get a really good tan. There was obviously something that made you want to be there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I had been working in Finland before that, and I did need a tan, and I did need some warm weather, but it was the excitement of going looking for Pharaoh's gold held some promise for me as well.
Yeah, well, there's all these missing hoards of gold that probably don't even exist anymore, but you might not have found the Pharaoh's gold, but you did find the Pharaoh's gold mine.
Well, we found a gold mine. We found an ancient gold mine, and at Rod Ruin, you know, there's a lot of old gold mines in Egypt, but we found a new old one which nobody had found before us. So
yeah, that's pretty remarkable. I talked with CEO Mark Campbell, and he's telling me there were old lamps there. It was like a movie set from Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It was, yeah, very much so. It was exactly like that. The good thing was there was no snakes down the holes we went down, but it was quite exciting. You know, we found this place. It was off a beaten track, which is why nobody had been there in a long time. And it was pretty exciting going up there and, you know, finding these what were clearly significant ancient gold mines.
Yeah, and when we were talking before, you were telling me that the country of Egypt as a whole is dramatically underexplored compared to many potential mines around the world where you've had massive exploration. In Egypt, you had next to none.
Yeah, absolutely. It is completely underexplored. It's amazing. You know, you look at Sukari Gold Mine, which is 200 k's down the road from us. That is a 20 million plus ounce resource. So that is, by anyone's imagination, a world-class gold mine. We have, you know, rock, we have sand, we have gold-bearing veins sticking out the ground, which is what the ancients were mining for 5,000 years ago. And it is completely underexplored. In modern times, there's been no exploration there whatsoever. So the potential is huge.
Potential is huge. And you say initial drilling results have been pretty promising, haven't they?
Yeah, well, we're very happy with the results. We went out and we drilled a 50 hole program. We hit mineralization in pretty much every single hole. We hit a lot of ancient workings where we didn't necessarily expect to see them. So the results were great. We hit a lot of mineralization from surface, so it represents probably a very attractive open pittable target. We've hit mineralization, deep mineralization. We hit in one hole mineralization from surface to 163 meters down hole. Lots of mineralization at surface, lots of depth potential. So very exciting.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And So, you know, many of you out there, you're thinking Egypt, like, you know, why don't I just drive my car off a cliff? We have very negative perceptions of that country as, forget about a dysfunctional society, but just as a place that's exceedingly difficult to do business done, to get supplies, to get infrastructure built and all that. But your experiences have been different than that, haven't they?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, you know, it's like anywhere in the developing world, it comes with its own challenges, like that goes without saying. But in terms of us being able to work, the infrastructure is great. You know, we're only, you know, 10, 15 minutes drive off a four-lane highway. It's an easy place to work. The people, and this may come as a surprise to people, you know, the people we work with are great. You know, we have a lot of, you know, real top quality guys up in Upper Egypt where we work. And, you know, we have a lot of fun. And to actually do mineral exploration, it's surprisingly easy.
Yeah, so it's, things are never the way they seem. All the cliches and all that, you know, you think of these crowded markets, places, and highways where cars don't move and nothing working in the entire country, although internet connections can be a little troublesome at times. But for the most part, those preconceptions are wrong.
Yeah, I mean, preconceptions are almost always wrong about everywhere. I mean, Cairo is Cairo. You know, that is a monster mega city with 25 million. You know, it's not the greatest place to drive around. It is full of chaotic sort of traffic. But we're not doing mineral exploration in central Cairo. We're doing it out in the desert. And we don't have a single person living within, you know, we don't have a single person living within our 750 square kilometer license area. So, you know, what happens in Cairo is not the same as what happens out in the desert where we are.
All right. Well, that's reassuring for sure. So when the way that you found this deposit and this old mine, you kind of reclaimed it, is an interesting story in and of itself.
It is. I won't go through the details, but it's a proper old fashioned boots on the ground mineral exploration story. You know, we looked at the high tech stuff, of course. We were doing, you know, reviewing satellite data, satellite imagery. We did a remote sensing program. We got some interesting spectral anomalies, and you know, you could see things from a satellite imagery. Plus, we went out and you know, it was boots on the ground stuff. We were going out looking at these ancient archaeological sites. We found a lot of evidence of ancient gold mining and processing, which was about 4 or 5 kilometers away from the actual mine. So there was a lot of interesting evidence that suggested there was a significant ancient mining site in the area. And then we tracked these archaeological sites and remains. We found ancient paths, which were clearly paths, which were miners' tracks, and ultimately a combination of boots on the ground, looking at the high-tech satellite imagery, and you know, following what we saw on the ground led us to the site at Rodruin.
Yeah, pretty amazing story. So when you look at the tailings piles that they have there and the way they used to process gold, how did they do it? Because there's a lot of ancient gold that survived and is, you know, obviously has been melted down many times. You know, it was pure muscle power, but how else did they do it?
Yeah, well, you have to consider the technology that existed thousands of years ago. It's not what we got nowadays. So there's a number of different periods of mining in Egypt. You know, mining goes back to the Old Kingdom period, which is about 5,000 years ago, so it goes back to a long way. Then you have the Ptolemaic era, which is about 300 years BC, then up to the early Arab sort of period, which was about the 8th, 9th, 10th centuries AD. So the sites that we were looking at, which were quite technologically advanced, they're early Arabic sites, and you could see these step dams. So they would take the ore, they would wash it, and they would run it over these step dams. They would collect water in side tributary valleys, and, you know, it doesn't rain very much in the desert in Egypt, of course. So they would, you know, when it rained, they would collect the water in these dams, and they would use that as washing tables, and they would use old animal skins to actually wash the crushed gold ore over. And you know, this is where the legend of Jason and the Golden Fleece came from, actually using sheepskins to wash the crushed ore over, and that's how they extracted the gold. But it was hard work. You see all these old rotary grinding mills, which are basically big lumps of granite, and people were just manually crushing and grinding the actual ore using these grinding stones, and you see them all over the place in Egypt. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, that's amazing. What kind of recovery rates could they get on, or they're obviously they're only looking for like high grades here. They couldn't, not like we have today.
No, well, that's one of the things that makes Egypt a very attractive exploration target now, because obviously the ancients were mining very high grade gold veins. So they would mine, predominantly quartz vein hosted gold, where they would see visible gold in, and often you would see copper staining would lead them as a pathfinder to these things, but not always. But essentially, they were mining high grade gold veins. So at Rod Ruin, when we first went there, we found a lot of visible gold. We found some of these ancient sites. We would go and crack open some bits of interesting looking rock, and you'd see visible gold in the bits of rock lying around the ancient site. So we sampled the ancient tailings at Eridea. They were going 20 grams. Now, I'm not sure what the recovery, but if the tailings were going 20 grams, then it probably suggests the actual ore that they were mining and processing was probably 50 to 100 grams. It would have been the grade of it. So pretty tidy sort of stuff. But going back, this is what they were mining in ancient days. But in terms of modern day targets, of course, we're now mining stuff down to below a gram, sort of quite easily economically extractable. So what they mined in the old days would not be what we're mining nowadays. But clearly there's some of that high grade material still around, which makes it great targets. But what we're looking at is a much bigger bulk sort of tonnage type deposits with these very high grades within it.
Yeah, so when you're like there, you're kind of like part geologist, part archaeologist. So you feel a connection, like this is a profession that's been going on. Maybe it's the third or fourth oldest profession in the world, finding gold.
Yeah, it's probably third or fourth. We try to stay out of the oldest profession, but I guess and especially in Egypt, you feel it. People have been doing this stuff for a long time ago, but I got to be honest, I'd rather be doing it now than 3,000 or 4,000 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was backbreaking work. I'm sure there was conscripted labor, otherwise known as slaves, doing this, because I'm sure it was a job that nobody wanted to do, and now people will fight for these mining jobs like their lives depended on it, which often they do. So we've come quite a ways.
Yeah, well, I think we sometimes get better paid now than the guys would have done in ancient times, and I think we're sometimes we're treated like slaves, but it's a lot better now than it used to be. So,
and it's a labor of love here, and you got air conditioning a lot of the time, so makes conditions a lot better. Anyway, it sounds like exciting things are about to happen in Egypt, in an area you'd never heard of, in an industry you never believed could actually thrive and prosper in Egypt. Javier, it's great to have you on. Good luck, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry. It's been an absolute pleasure, I got to say, man. Cheers.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.